Electra has been one of the core people in the development of mesh technologies and community networks together with Freifunk here in Germany, but she's also taught how to use those technologies across the world, really, in places like Bangladesh, India, Chile, Tanzania, and South Africa. So she also has a really global perspective on how to create infrastructure and access to the free and open internet worldwide. And for anybody who's really interested in the topic of mesh networks, she's also the author of the book Wireless Networking in the Developing World, and I highly recommend this as a read on the topic. So today, Electra is going to be speaking to us about basically creating access through different kinds of infrastructure for infants by using different kinds of open spectrums. So more concretely, she's going to be speaking about how to engage and how to use radio spectrums for the Internet Commons. Let's give a first really long, warm round of applause whilst the slides are coming up. Welcome.
Wow.
And there they are. It worked.
Now I'm really humbled. Oh, and now the presentation also works. Thank you very much. OK, I'm reusing slides that I did before at the CCC camp and at the Battle Mesh about the project that I'm now involved at the moment. We're using now the television channels 21, 22, and 23 to use mesh networking for Freifunk in the north of Friedrichshain. So the talk that I have been giving before was more about the technology, but it also touches the matter of spectrum policy. And this will be a non-technical talk, well, partly, because I will find it hard going without any technical stuff. But what you see here on top is an antenna. It's a so-called biquad. And I have this foldable ruler to give you an idea how large it is. If you compare that to your normal Wi-Fi device antenna, like a little stick antenna, it's quite large, and that's because the frequencies that we're using in our test are have longer wavelength than the normal Wi-Fi devices. Well, spectrum policy. That's a quote I got from this site, from the EU. Well, 200 billion euros is the amount of money that is earned or annually spent on services that are depending on radio spectrum. Our problem is that the radio spectrum is mostly privatized or in the hands of the military. What happened so far is that you all, I suppose, are using Wi-Fi. Is there anybody not using Wi-Fi here? Could you imagine using any considerable use of the internet without Wi-Fi? Yeah. Could you do that?
Ham radio.
1,200 baud, maybe. Okay, well, 3G and 4G services, at least in Germany, are way too expensive in order to do anything which demands bandwidth on the web. Of course, it's okay for chatting and maybe some other stuff. Maybe the company is paying your bill. I have no company that pays my bill, so I only use 3G, 4G for frugal internet use. So we have two bands that we can use for Wi-Fi. That's the 2.4 gigahertz band that is implemented in basically all the devices that have Wi-Fi. And the more expensive ones, they might be dual band, so they have the 5 gigahertz band as well. The 2.4 gigahertz band, by experts, it's called a trash or garbage band. It's a band that is used by microwave ovens that not only heat your food, they also radiate in your environment. Not very strongly, but they emit about up to 10 times the power of your Wi-Fi gear, legally, into your environment every time you heat up whatever. I don't have a microwave oven for that reason. And there is, according to the American regulations, there's three non-overlapping channels. In Europe, we have four non-overlapping channels, but for historical reasons, most people operate their Wi-Fi networks on channel 1, 6, and 11, because if you have somebody that has a Wi-Fi gear that was purchased in the US, or it's complying only with the US, you cannot use channel 13 that is legal in Europe. So besides all these limitations, there is lots of interference. It's not a part of the spectrum that has very nice properties at all. It's one of the most important resources of our modern life. And it's actually a resource that is in heavy use also by commercial providers, because they do a technology they call mobile offloading. They know that their 3G, 4G systems, they don't have the bandwidth to handle all the demanding traffic, so they're offloading their traffic to Wi-Fi. So if you buy a DSL router together with a contract, chances are that you are, without knowing, running a telecom hotspot for them over your DSL line, and you give the power. Maybe you pay for a 16 megabit line. In effect, you get a 24 or 32 megabit line, but you only see 16 megabit for yourself because the other part is reserved for the customers of Deutsche Telekom or for others. And all these limitations, there is this figure, 250 million units are using this band today only in Germany. And offloading saves about 84 billion euros for the big telcos. But something has changed. Analog television has been digitalized, and the result is it's more effective with regards to spectral efficiency. That means in the old days, you could hold one television channel in 8 megahertz of spectrum. Now you can have 4 to 6 television channels in the same channel. So we can do today with 10 megahertz what we were able to do with 60 megahertz a couple of years ago. So what you see here, I think it's an easy to understand graph about the electromagnetic spectrum that we use for communication every day below the frequency of 1 gigahertz. That's 1 billion cycles. I'm going to explain that with the next slide in a second. And you see here with these dark gray areas, seems to be a little bit blurry, but I hope you can still recognize it. They have been used for television. Like if you look at it, the biggest part of the wireless spectrum below 1 gigahertz has been in use for analog television. So, and we now only need less than 20% of what we had before in order to provide the same amount of television channels, which gives us a big opportunity, which is called the digital dividend. Before I come to my next slide, I have to be slightly technical or talking about physics. Who of you is aware of what it means if somebody talks about wavelength? Raise your arm. Well, that's decent, I suppose. Like electromagnetic waves, they travel at the speed of light. So if the frequency of such a wave is 1 hertz, hertz is the unit, it means that it goes through the cycle from 0 to maximum amplitude, to 0 to negative maximum amplitude, to 0, that's a full cycle, 360 degrees, once in 1 second, it travels 300,000 kilometers through space before making 1 complete cycle, therefore the wavelength is 300,000 kilometers, because 300,000 kilometers is the speed of light in space and in air. So the electromagnetic waves that we use with Wi-Fi today, they are 2.4 billion cycles or hertz per second. Therefore, they traveled 12 centimeters through space before they went through one full cycle. So the wavelength is 12 centimeters. And this has an influence on the properties of this spectrum. To explain that, I have chosen this picture. Like, if you assume that this surfer is going to hit this wave, if he just falls into the water, will he affect the wave? Hardly. There won't be a big effect on that wave. If that big wave hits the surfer, will he be affected? I think, yeah, he will be. And the same is true for wavelength. If you have a wavelength of an electromagnetic wavefront that is only 12 centimeters, and it hits an oil tanker that is several hundred meters long, then the wave is just canceled out. The wavefront will be broken. On the other side, if you have a wavefront with a wavelength of the size of an oil tanker, if that hits, well, a small metal object, it will hardly be affected. And that's the reason why this spectrum below 1 gigahertz is so precious. Because we can use it in areas where there are objects, as long as they're considerably smaller than the wavelength, they don't affect our electromagnetic communication so much. So, back to this slide. What happens now at the moment is that the UHF part of the spectrum, that's the frequency above 700 megahertz to 860 megahertz, has already been privatized in Germany. It has been sold to the big telcos for an incredible amount of money. Well, our politicians tell us that we, the citizens, have gained an enormous amount of surplus of money for our treasury that we can spend on broadband communication, which doesn't make much sense, at least to me, because I know some people that are going to pay for that extra money that the treasury has now earned, and that is you and I, if we buy or subscribe those services. So we're actually paying a broadband tax, an extra tax for having capped broadband. The picture above was the first spectrum auction that took place in 2010. I think the amount of money that was gained was about 5 billion euros. And the picture below shows the part of the spectrum that has been auctioned on June 19th, 2015, so a couple of months ago, for another 5 billion euros that we are going to pay for. That's it in a little bit more detail. Not very important to know. Just remember that about 10 billion euros have been spent on selling the digital dividend to private companies. And we're going to pay for that. That's the message that I'd like to communicate here. And that we should demand to not have all the public resource that we were once using, which has been a commons. If you consider public broadcast television and radio a public resource, and the spectrum that has been dedicated to do that, if you consider that a public resource, we should not let it happen that all of it is going to be privatized so that we pay for it. Because we are benefiting so much from the tiny fractions of the electromagnetic spectrum that we can use now unlicensed with Wi-Fi. If there would be no such spectrum that we could use, we would have no Wi-Fi here at all. And we need more. We need more for that, because our demand for bandwidth is increasing and the prices are still extremely high that you pay to a private company. So, politics hasn't opened the discussions on that, as far as I'm aware. They say the market will handle it. They say, well, I say it doesn't. As you can see, if you live in a remote area where it's not feasible for private companies to make a big profit if they give you a service. So there is areas that where only old people live in the future that are not interested in using digital broadband communication. And their children are not going to visit them, or only for a very short time, because they will feel disconnected when they visit them. Which is happening in Greece, where people told me, hey, it's so great that we have our Freifunk-style network here, because now the children are coming back to visit us. So I and several others have a different proposal to make. With regards to the UHF spectrum, which is like the television spectrum that has been used from 470 to 860, which is now already partly privatized, we want another unlicensed part exclusively for digital broadband open to the public, an unlicensed part of the spectrum. And our suggestion is like 80 to 100 megahertz, which is the same amount of bandwidth that we have at 2.4 gigahertz, but exclusively for broadband, not for toys, not for microwave ovens or anything like that, not for heating or welding, which is taking place in 2.4 gigahertz, but only for public digital broadcast use without license. We would all win. The private companies would win too, because they can do their offloading strategy there as well. And I would be happy with that. I'm happy if they do that in the 2.4 gigahertz band. I'm happy if they do that in the 5 gigahertz band, as long as they do it fair. We have a problem at the moment that LTE-U is going to use the 5 gigahertz band in competition with Wi-Fi, and it's going to use it unfair. So we're actually now threatened by losing Wi-Fi broadband for Freifunk, for example, to LTE-U, because the spectrum use is not collaborative that LTE-U does. But that would be a completely different presentation that I'm not going to give now. I need a sip. Can you say that again? Weather radar is using it. For example, all the people that use point-to-point links with Wi-Fi, like Freifunk here in Berlin, and ISPs, also commercial Wi-Fi ISPs, they use the 5 gigahertz band, mostly for point-to-point links. If I didn't understand your question right, please raise your voice. Sorry, I don't get it. Yeah, we can make that later, okay? Well, in the United States and Canada and in England, it's now possible to have very expensive TV white space devices that can operate in the television band, but only if they connect to a database and only if the database allows them to do it in the area where they want to operate. This has now raised concerns and problems, because in the United States, operators of these expensive TV white space units that cost around $1,000, they fake the geolocation. So, for example, if they want to use it in California, they will just say it's somewhere in the desert, so the device that actually started to communicate. And, of course, you need internet to start a device that will give you internet, which is, of course, I can see a problem there, a minor one. And it will have it creates problems with hidden nodes, like somebody is using TV white space and will interfere with the reception of somebody trying to watch television. So an exclusive band for broadband use would solve all these problems, It would take down the hardware costs and make it very easy to do it and very cheap. And we could get it soon. Yeah, well, that's mostly it. There was a public consultation by the EU that I and a couple of individuals responded to, suggesting the proposal that I've just presented to you. Unfortunately, we were lost in the crowd, and it will be difficult to have our say on this topic. Yeah. Just a picture of the prototypes that we have been building for Freifunk to operate. Remember, this used to be a technical talk. And very quickly, if you have radio communication and objects are between the antennas, like here at the bottom, and they are of considerable size in comparison or in relationship to the wavelength of your electromagnetic waves, they will interfere. So longer wavelengths helps with that. And the example is here. That's my kitchen window. And somewhere upright, there is a church, hidden behind trees and bushes and everything. It's impossible to do that link with Wi-Fi, but it works brilliantly with the 482 megahertz frequency in the UHF band that we happen to have a license, a limited license, until the end of 2015 now. So, I thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much, Electra. We already heard that there were some questions in the audience, and you're going to be around for the rest of the day. Perfect. Because I was just saying it's a bit hard to hear up here without the microphone, but thanks for sticking around and answering those. And thank you very much for your talk.